Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
In the car, I play my dream.
Welcome to episode 357.
Wow,
auspicious number if ever there was one, especially on a day like today. And I'm not being funny. You know what time it is. This is the Pimp Cast, permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. All right, y'all. Good to be with y'all. I'm not going to mess around. I'm going to get right into it. This is going to be one of the more important episodes that I've done in a long, long time. So for those that are wondering, it's September 10th right now. And good night, man. A lot of crazy stuff going on in the world right now, not the least of which being that Charlie Kirk just got shot, I think, in Utah. And already some weird stuff coming up. I mean, people were going to, and they're already asking, well, what are your thoughts on this? I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. Perhaps I'll cover it a little bit more tomorrow night because tis the season for false flags. You dig? It's 9/11 season, but today is the 10th. Yeah, people are already asking, well, what do you think? I'll just tell you what I know. All right. They nabbed an old guy, and this old guy is supposedly the shooter. Okay. Don't know if I'm buying that right off, especially when I just watched Fox News a little bit ago, Martha McCallum on there with a guy who supposedly knew this guy. And in the middle of saying that I know for a fact he didn't do it, they changed the feed on him. Let me tell you, as a person that's worked in the radio biz, I can tell you right now, you don't have an exclusive with a person who knows the accused shooter and then say, oh, by the way, we got to go now. Not when he's in the middle of it. That's number one. Number two, You know what? I'm just going to reserve judgment for right now, but I'm already seeing some things that just don't add up. I'm not saying it didn't happen. And my prayers go out to his family. I didn't agree with this guy on a lot of political things, but I didn't wish this on him. And I don't wish it on anybody else. So we should collectively pray for his family and all the other people out there that are suffering from similar things that are unfolding right now in this country. So I'm going to leave that right there for now. But folks, this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twoldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Soil saviors, y'all. That's what I use. William's been using it right now. Denise at Renewed Homestead, she has a box of it. Ken and Amy, boy, they even did a testimonial. There's a lot of people out there using this stuff. And if you don't have time to make the ball and compost that we do here, that's going to be your next best choice. In fact, I put it in my compost. So anyway, we got a link down below if you're interested in that. Look, I'm going to forego my other sponsors right now because I got a guest on that I really wanted him on. I had the opportunity of speaking to him. He's one of those people that I can remember where and what I was doing because he was so interesting when I spoke to him. I was actually driving out to go pick up a ram last year. I was on the way out there and I was like, okay, I got a little bit of a drive, man. I need to call this guy. So I called him up and he answered and we talked for quite a while. And then I believe we spoke a second time and I'm not going to get into all of it, but I could tell 5 minutes into it, man, that he and I aligned on so many different things. And he had some pretty awesome things that he was doing, which made him extremely attractive in the world that I am, and that's decentralized permaculture, okay? Which is what permaculture is supposed to be in the first place, decentralized. So he was very, very attractive. But as of late, he's gotten to a bind, and we're going to talk to this activist audience out here to kind of help work out what's going on. So with that I got my man Bryson Lipscomb from Triple Oak Farm. Oaks Farm, that's plural, not just one oak. How you doing, Bryson?
I'm fantastic, Billy. Thank you so much for having me on this show. My favorite podcast, dude. My favorite one by far. Killing it.
Oh, man. I appreciate it, bro, because there's a whole lot of people in this space that definitely don't appreciate. And as I was telling Bryson beforehand, all of those people that are in this political paradigm, the left, right, all the other garbage, and people that want to be in boxes, they've kind of gravitated away from this podcast. But the people that don't want to be told how to think, what to think, where to think, how to live, what to eat, what to put in my body, and all those things, those are the people that are going to gravitate to this podcast. And so naturally, I mean, it was just meant to be that you and I were going to meet. Hopefully we do it face to face one day and you can hand over some of that elixir I just saw you drinking a minute ago. Man,
that's the modern day moonshine right there.
Oh, dude, that is funnier than I'm willing to admit right now.
Dude, I feel like an old moonshine runner half the time when I'm driving around with a few hundred gallons of, you know, raw milk in my truck. You know, it's like, golly, all they got to do is pull me over and I'm
I can't even believe this is the world we live in. Well, folks, that's why he's hemmed up right now. But before we get into that, you know, every superhero has an origin story, bro, and I'd like to hear yours. So why don't you kind of give me the backstory of Triple Oaks Farm and, you know, how and why you got started and what brought you to this space?
Yeah, so we officially started in 2021, and prior to that, you know, we had bought our house and this property. We were just kind of hobbying, you know, whatever. I had a full-time career. My wife had a full-time career. You know, we were making great money. We had all the great benefits, you know, all 401ks, you know, everything that they say you're, you know, supposed to have. And prior to that, I was in the Army. I know you're 82nd guy, which is one reason I love this podcast, because you, just the words and the phrases and the way you say it and the things you say, man, I have this kinship and I just end up smiling every single time. But thank you for your service. And it's nice to be talking to another crusty old, you know, airborne guy. So we had these jobs, and then basically COVID hit. And our worlds changed, you know, at least they were changing around us. And we began to see things differently for the first time. And one of those, you know, one of the main things and catalysts for, you know, wanting to produce our own food was meat went short in the stores around here, it was only for like a week or two. It was a short time, thankfully, you know, for a lot of people. But, you know, I was that before COVID. I was that NPC. I would just go to the store. You know, we don't have Costco. We have Sam's Club here. I would just go into Sam's Club, buy like a couple big beef chuck roasts, and not give. I mean, it's embarrassing now, but I wouldn't even give an inkling of the thought to where that animal came from, how it was raised, what it ate, much less what's in this beef, what's not in this beef, is this beef. You know, I didn't think about any. I just went and like bought one that looked good and was a good price. And, you know, out the door I went. But during 2021, I went in there to get to do that same thing. And all of a sudden the whole meat shelf was just bare. I think there was some, like, you know, questionable, you know, the big tubes of ground beef they have at the end. Yeah. That was the only thing that was there. And I was not buying that. Even at the time I knew better. And it hit us. We're like, wow, we are truly dependent on someone else to feed our families, to feed ourselves. Like that's probably not how it's supposed to be. So my wife proposed to me, she's like, you know, can we raise a pig to put in our freezer? And I was like, yeah, we can, you know? So I do some researching and reading and somehow, you know, come across Joel Salatin and his teachings. You know, I'm only 2 hours from the man, so it's not really a surprise. And so I get a couple piglets you know, as you do, you post pictures of these animals on your Facebook and whatnot. No intentions of starting a farm business at the time. This was just going to be, you know, raise a couple pigs for the meat. And, you know, people start asking us questions. Like, are you going to sell sausage? Are you going to sell, you know, I'd like to buy half a pig if that's something you guys are going to, you know. It was just immediate pressure from the community for this type of meat, this type of protein, and especially during that time, man, as you, I'm sure you're aware, the demand for locally produced meat during those times was astronomical, more than we may ever see again until the next, whether it be another pandemic or a natural disaster or something shuts the main grid food system down. So we bought a few more pigs and basically just kept leaning into that pressure from the market. You know, we've never run a business. We've never been entrepreneurs before. This was our first go. It's still our first go. And we are very much so still figuring it out. But during that time, we got involved with raw milk because I drank raw milk for the first time. And I grew up on pasteurized skim milk my entire life. My parents wouldn't even buy whole milk because fat was bad. And I didn't drink milk as an adult because that's what I related it to. You know, trash, watery trash, right? But, man, the first time, I'll never forget. The first time I turned up a glass like this of Jersey cow's milk, that's like 5.2% butterfat now. It was fireworks. You know, I was so excited. I was like, I had no idea what I was missing. And I'm not exaggerating that one bit. I was like, wow. So we began at the time. I don't want to dive too much information, details because of, you know, what's going on right now about how our business is bottled and structured. But we work with some local dairies, you know, to bring raw milk to our community. And, you know, so we started running a herd share program in the beginnings, which most people do. And during that time, it was immediate. And, you know, herd share program is kind of like a subscription based model.
Right.
You know, people are getting a gallon plus milk a week usually. And you know, we charge them for the whole month up front. And what we kept having these customers come in and like, well, what if I just want, you know, 1 gallon of milk kind of every now and then, you know, like you would in a normal store. Right. So we began researching and looking for solutions to that problem. And I actually heard Joel Salatin on, I think it was Instagram on one of the many interviews that he does, mention PMAs, private membership associations. So I start looking into those and I said it earlier today, you know, when we as a society have been so far removed and separated from our God-given constitutional rights, when you learn about them for the first time, it sounds too good to be true. And I'm a little ashamed to admit that, but that was the case. I was like, wait a minute. You mean we have the right to privately associate and freely assemble and privately contract and you know, circumnavigate, as Joel says, these overreaching, you know, tyrannical regulations that are put on us by these unelected bureaucrats? Like, I've never heard of anything like that. And so I reached out to Amos Miller at the time, which I'm sure a lot of, you know, you're probably familiar and a lot of your followers are familiar with Amos, the Amish man in Pennsylvania, probably the most famous Amish guy in the country, I'm just guessing. But he was the only one I could find who was actually participating in a private membership association. So I called him and had no idea who I was calling, how busy this man was, but I waited on hold for like 45 minutes, just waiting. Well, sure enough, he finally came to the phone and then he gave me like an hour of his time. And we realized that we were very like-minded. We wanted the same things. We had the same, you know, values and morals in farming. And we wanted to bring that to the community the way that we saw fit. And he basically gave me the encouragement, the guidance to begin a private membership association. And since then, it has grown and developed. And we dropped away the herd share program altogether because, which I get asked this all the time, like, well, just run a herd share program. Why don't you guys just do a herd share program? herd shares are not actually legal. There's nothing, there's no laws protecting our right to herd shares. Okay. So the term, and I recently learned this word, but the term is sufferance. Herd shares are at the sufferance of the state, meaning they're just simply allowed for now. Meaning the way I read that is they can shut herd shares down any day for any reason. If they want to deem something unsanitary and a threat to the public health, they can. If you know anything about the food safety laws, bro, they are vague, and they are vague for a reason.
That's right.
They can slap that unsanitary label on literally anything. So it's just another way. Herd shares are just another way for the man to keep their thumb on the, you know, small dairy producer, small food producer.
While creating the illusion of freedom.
Right. And it's so frustrating because they're like, oh, we're going to let you dairymen, we're going to let you move your product. We're just going to put you over here in this little dark, narrow corner and tell you exactly how you can operate. You can't even say that you sell the milk that you produce. No, no, no. You have to say you sell shares to your herd, and you have to redefine your product that is milk to a service fee so that, you know, your members, your customers, whatever, aren't paying for a good, they're paying for a service. And that's the loophole. A herd share is a private contract. Important to note there. Okay. So brings us up to, you know, the current situation at hand. The reason I'm here, we got our first cease and desist for selling raw milk outside of a herd share program just under a year ago. Well, the cease and desist was for selling raw milk to the public. Well, we weren't selling any raw milk. We have never sold raw milk to the public, period. That's a fact. Every raw dairy product that we have ever distributed to the community has been under some form of private contract, whether it was a herd share or a private membership association. So we chose to ignore the cease and desist letter. We thought, you know, this is just a shot in the dark. You know, this doesn't really mean anything. This is just going to go away. That was the counsel that we were given at the time. Well, it would have seemed like that was the case because it wasn't until, you know, 8 months later, 7-8 months later, that we got served a big old fat stack of complaints, you know, subpoenas from our Campbell County court system on behalf of the Virginia Department of Health.
But not your customers, but not on behalf of your patrons.
Zero complaints from our private members, zero complaints about raw milk. This is just coming from the state of Virginia saying that and I may be getting ahead of my story here, but this is the state of Virginia saying that the good people of this Commonwealth do not have the God-given and constitutionally protected right to choose where and how they buy food. You do not have the right to feed your family however you see fit. That's what they're saying. That's a deduced, you know, way of, you know, describing it, but that's exactly what this is. So we got summons to our first hearing, which is September 22nd at 10 a.m. at the Campbell County Courts. And we'll say that date and time many more times throughout this interview. But they are summoning what the Virginia Department of Health is doing is they are petitioning the court to ban us from unlawfully selling raw milk. Again, an inaccurate and unjustified accusation, because we are not unlawfully doing anything. We, again, as Americans, have the First Amendment constitutional right not only to speech, but to privately assemble or privately associate, freely assemble, and also privately contract. And that's what a PMA is doing, is exercising our First Amendment constitutional rights. The Virginia Department of Health, and we have that belief. We have that belief in the Constitution, in the First Amendment. We have a belief in the PMA. The Virginia Department of Health, via their commissioner, Karen Shelton, who is the plaintiff in this case, called that belief in the Constitution erroneous and misguided.
What?
Billy, the same Constitution that you swore an oath to defend with your life, the same one that I swore to defend with my life, this woman, this bureaucrat, called erroneous and misguided. I'll never forget that. I'll never get that out of my head. I never even heard the word erroneous until, you know, I'm a simple guy. I couldn't believe that's unfathomable that they would throw that type of stone in this situation. So that's kind of where we stand right now. A little bit of backstory on private associations. Again, they are legal, constitutionally protected, Supreme Court upheld entity. The Supreme Court has ruled in favor of private associations time and time again. I have in front of me, I have at least a dozen different Supreme Court cases that uphold private associations. Never specifically for raw milk, but it shouldn't matter. If you can privately associate and buy alcohol from someone who doesn't have a, you know, the right permits from the state.
Happens all the time.
Right. You should be able to sign a daggone consent form, basically, a private contract, making you fully aware of what you're doing, pay your dues, your membership fees, your compensation, and then gain access to, I mean, it should be any products ever created. Most people can't even understand the level of freedom that I believe in, but I think you should be able to do that and buy Schedule One drugs if you want to. Well, we're not even talking about a Schedule One drug. Raw milk is not on the controlled substance list. This is a basic food that we're talking about, and they're still saying that you don't have the right to make that decision as an adult. You don't have that right as a parent to provide for your children, to nourish your children the way that you would like. Without the, you know, their oversight.
Bryson, let me jump in for a minute or my head's going to explode. I swear, yeah. Bro, because I'm over here seething like I can't remember the last time I've been this pissed off. I mean, erroneous. Okay, under that First Amendment, it says freedom of religion, freedom of the press, the right to assemble peaceably and petition the government. Second Amendment, everybody knows what that one is. I guess number three, illegal search or quartering of troops in peacetime and limits it in the time of war. You know, it wouldn't shock me that there's some illegal search and seizure going on in this too. You know, this is exactly why, folks, Dr. Benjamin Rush wanted to put a health amendment into the Constitution, not just our Bill of Rights, our first 10 amendments. He wanted, but Thomas Jefferson said, well, in no time in history has it ever... We don't need to waste time on this because the founding fathers couldn't even conceive of a day when the government would be telling us what we had to put in our bodies and what we couldn't put in our bodies. And we're talking about milk for crying out loud, bro. I mean, it's like Shelly in the chat here from Two Old Crows Homestead says, every time we go to pick up raw milk, Randy says we're bootleggers. I mean, that's, you know what? I've talked to you privately about this before and I've made it very, very clear. And for the powers that shouldn't be who are going to listen to this, I will not obey an unjust law. Bottom line. So I don't care what your rules are. I don't care what you, especially when it comes down to food, bro. You're out here doing some unbelievable work right now. I know people that would kill to be able to get raw milk. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely kill. But, you know, you cross a state line with it, and now we got an interstate problem. Bro, this is just pissing me off one side and down the other. Okay, I let that loose a little bit. Let me kick it on back to you because as you're telling me, I swear, bro, my blood pressure is getting worse and worse and worse as I hear this because this has now become the United States of amnesia. This isn't the United States of America. That's why I'm saying Thomas Jefferson didn't even want to consider putting it in the Constitution because he thought it was so far-fetched that there would never be a day when this is happening and we see it unfolding right before our eyes. Erroneous, huh? What day did you say this thing is unfolding? Cause I'm gonna let everybody know in the Pimpcast audience. I'm gonna keep telling them. So tell me one more time this thing's going down and where it's happening.
September 22nd, at 10 a.m. is our pre-trial hearing, which we are treating like game day. You know, I don't think this should go to trial. I think this should have been dismissed before the hearing administratively. And it is at the Campbell County Circuit Court.
Okay, maybe you can text that to me, and I'm going to make sure if there is any humanly way possible that I can be there, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to ask everybody else to. Folks, this is where we need to coalesce. This is it. This is the fight of our times. I mean, we're told Maha is, well, I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. You know what? I'm not going to get on my soapbox right now. Man, it's really time for you to put a focus on you, so I'm having to pull back the reins a little bit, but somebody's going to obviously ask me, well, surely people in Maha would be, you know, helping you out. Have you gotten any help from them or the Farm Legal Defense Fund or some of these others out here that I've had long suspicions about, maybe not being what they say they are?
Oh, I love you, Billy. So as far as the Maha group goes, I haven't talked to anyone directly. We've been, you know, the easy one is like, oh, does RFK know about this? Well, I would love for him to know about this. At the end of the day, does he have any real authority over the situation? No, he doesn't.
No.
You know, is he willing to stick his neck out for a tiny, you know, no-name farm like us? I would say no. I don't have anything against the man. He might call me tomorrow, and God bless him if he does. But I don't put my faith in government, right? I do, to some degree, put my faith in the people. And that's what we're asking is for the community and the communities to show up in a peaceful assembly and support your right to choose your food. That's it. Now, your latter point about has the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund reached out? You want to take a guess on that one?
I've long suspected that they are more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. So I imagine you're about to confirm it.
No. So they only represent herd share programs. They will not touch PMAs. I used to be a member of the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. And I was talking to them one day about us being a private membership association. And they would not. They basically told me they do not represent PMAs. They only represent herd share programs when herd share programs are in need. So that was my last day as a member.
Yeah, but herd shares are not even going to get fooled with anyway because they're working. I mean, if you're – good night, man. This whole thing is just burning me up one side and down the other, bro. I'm just going to back off a little bit.
Bring so it on, man. Let it rip.
So all these people that are right here at the top, whether it's the people in Maha, because I know some big movers and shakers in Maha. And by the way, just for the people out there that think, okay, this Maha is, to me, Maha, and as cliche as it's become, is ha-ha. Because right here, I had the people from Maha that were supposedly going to be helping me out in Western North Carolina. You know, it wasn't, they reached out to me and said, hey, what can we do to help? I'm like, man, we could really use some testing right now. We could use some focus on what's going on. And then after we did the testing, I'm talking to the number one lawyer at Maha, and the dude ghosted me. Meanwhile, Bryson didn't know me from Shinola, reached out of nowhere. Now, folks, he didn't talk about this, but I'm going to tell you how awesome a guy he is. Okay. We were, and there are people right now still living in tents in Western North Carolina. You know, we got money to send all over this planet. Can't seem to get the government to come in here and confirm the testing that we've spent thousands of your money. All you folks out there that have contributed to the Living Soil Foundation spent thousands of dollars of your money for testing because we can't get reliable testing anywhere in government. Maha reaches out, ghosts us, and then out of the blue, who, lo and behold, who offers to say, you know what, man, I got a few pigs, man. I can drop off to some people down there that are really, really suffering right now. He didn't tell you about this, but I will, folks. That's the kind of guy you're listening to right now, Bryson. He called me up and said, look, man, I got these pigs. You know, we'll get you squared away down there. And logistically, it simply didn't work out. But my man was all over, didn't ask, no thought of reward, didn't ask for anything. So anything I can possibly do to help out this good man, folks, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to ask everybody out there to do the very same thing. And Bryson, before we move on, do you have like a way for the people that can't be there that maybe they want to support you monetarily? I know everybody's hurting these days, but man, there may be somebody that has like a couple extra bucks they could give to you. What's going to be the best way to do that?
Yes, sir. So we did set up a Give, Send, Go account to help pay for some of our legal fees. You know, farms, man, we're not just out here rolling in it. You know, we don't have thick margins at all, like a lot of people like to assume. Just because they see our prices, they don't know what it takes to produce this stuff. So legal fees, they do take a really big hit on my family and I. So we did set up a Give, Send, Go. If people are so inclined and feel called to do something like that, you can just look up Triple Oaks Farm on the Give, Send, Go account, and you'll be able to find us for sure.
All right. That's we'll be sure. I know one thing we'll definitely be giving. And if we can be there in person, folks, look, I know a lot of people are suffering in so many ways these days, but man, if nothing else, offer your prayers. I mean, I've witnessed a recent miracle as of late. My friend Steve, his wife is now, free from brain cancer. And there's a number of other things that will go on. Lord, look, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And we need to pray that these swamp creatures that are, and they're in every part of government, folks. It's not just at the federal level. When they talk about the swamp, that's usually what people think. But man, these polecats further down the chain are sometimes far more insidious than the ones that are at the higher end of the food chain. So when you get hit by state and local officials, it's going to sting a lot worse. So have you been able to find counsel? I mean, not a whole lot of people are going to defend the PMA. Are you able to find a lawyer that will do that?
Yeah, we have, thank the Lord. We've had, some people reach out, and I think we just made that commitment today towards one. It's not technically official or whatever that looks like. But yeah, we're gonna take some counsel. Lawyers make me really nervous. I'll be very transparent on that. So I didn't want to just work with anybody. You know what I mean? They needed to share our values, our beliefs in this, not just in the good Lord, but also in the Constitution. So we already have our defense. We work with a private group that has been counseling us, advising us in PMAs. They, they set up our PMA contract and the supporting documents, and they're well versed in private associations and our rights to do so. So I already had, what I feel is like a pretty sound, straightforward defense. But we're going to find out on the 22nd, how the judge feels about that defense. Because, there, like I said, there's a dozen Supreme Court cases at least that support private associations and recognize that, there's a public domain of commerce and then there's a private domain of commerce, of which we operate in the latter of the two. It's uncommon. I don't hold it against people that don't know about PMAs. I didn't know about them until a few years ago, and I'm still learning about them today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you would think a judge, and I don't know what I would call a judge these days. You think they would say, "Man, get this weak stuff out of my court." We got homegrown crimes going all over the place. Women getting their heads chopped off on a freaking bus, or a guy getting shot at a rally, or whatever the case may be. But no, the bro, you look like one of the Manson, family to me. I mean, yeah, you're selling this raw milk. Boy, you're clearly an arch criminal. I'm just absolutely floored that it's come to this. I mean, you're not the first, clearly, but I just don't even understand how they have any jurisdiction. So let me kind of ask in terms of the state, what exactly are they wanting to you to just stop, or are they saying, we want to fine you, or is it all of the above? Did they say what they're after?
They just want me to stop. Basically, I'm summarizing and paraphrasing a bit here. They just want us to stop selling raw dairy products outside of a herd share program, which is, like I mentioned earlier, it's silly that they're willing to recognize one private consensual contract, but not another. If this truly were the threat to public health, like they're calling it, like they're calling my family, they wouldn't allow herd shares either.
And there's no victim. There's no victim.
Zero victim. No.
This is absolutely overreach if I haven't seen anything else. Now, somebody's clearly going to ask, and I guess I will, but I don't think you should have to do this. I was recently in one of the towns over, I think we were at a Bigfoot festival or something like that. I walked in this local butchery over there, being a butcher. I walk in there, and I'm looking around, and they got raw milk, and they're selling it out of the case, but they're calling it cat food or animal food, pet food, whatever. That's one of the ways in which people get around that. Is that something you've considered doing?
It's something I've considered in the past, and it's something I've done in the past. We went through the process as a farm to actually get our raw milk product registered and licensed by the Virginia Department of Agriculture to sell in retail stores across the state. It was the first time it had ever happened. Heads were rolling, Billy, as you can imagine. You know, when somebody sits down and actually reads the rules for pet food, you know, they were just amazed to actually see it to come across their desk. But I learned something, and this is important for everyone to listen. To sell that pet food required a livestock feed license under the Agricultural Commodities Division of the Department of Agriculture. Okay, you know better than most, what is a license? It's a contract. You are contracting yourself out with the state, meaning you are putting yourself under their control, under their thumb. So in that contract, in the fine print, you are signing away your essentially many rights, but essentially the biggest one to me at least was your Fourth Amendment, your private property rights. Okay. They can, because you have that license, that contract with them, they can come onto your private property at any time with no warning for no reason. I don't know about you. You know, I've heard you say it many times. You're not coming out to, you know, Billy's Jungle Palace of Love without a warning. And I feel the same way. You know, you're not coming down here no matter what your laminated badge might say. You know what I'm saying? So when we learned that, we voided that license altogether and we stopped selling it as pet food. Now, if a farm wants to sell a product directly off of their farm, I'm pretty sure you can do that without getting that license. You know, it's done right there on the property. But if you wanted to actually put it in the store, like your butcher scenario, I'm willing to bet he has that license. Mm. That's kind of like the legal reason for us not doing it. And then a friend of mine put it on my heart as a Christian. He said, you know, are you being deceitful by selling raw milk as pet food? And man, if you really dig down deep in yourself, I am, you know, that's the truth. I'm calling it one thing and it's meant for another. I don't want to be deceitful. That's when I first kind of reached out to you. I just received the gift of salvation and decided to follow Jesus Christ in every way that I can, as closely as I can, this past December. And I had built this business, this farm, you know, basically built off my ego and my pride and, you know, just wanting to thumb my nose to the government, wanting to buck the system. And then, you know, you start reading Matthew, all of a sudden you're like, oh, snap. You know, I've been doing some things incorrectly. And so that's when I reached out to you was I had heard you, you know, talking about, you know, we don't follow unjust laws. And I was just looking for some answers from someone with experience. Like, listen, how do we navigate this highly overregulated world that is food production as followers of Christ? And you basically, at least what I heard was, listen, there's 9 ways to skin that cat. You know, the state is only telling you one way and that's their way. And that's exactly what we did. We're like, well, we already know what PMAs are. We already have a PMA. Let's just go full on, you know, into the PMA. And that's what we did, because I'm not breaking any laws. I'm not, you know, disobeying local governing authority by running and managing a private membership association. You know, as far as governing authority, I think it's important to note the United States Constitution or even above that, you know, law of nature. But I'll say it like this. The United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land. That is my governing authority. A bureaucracy that is overinflated and continues to inflate itself year after year after year, and the way that they do that is creating more and more regulations that degrade our God-given constitutional rights, is not necessarily governing authority.
That's right. Okay?
That's the way I view it. I've got friends who disagree with me, and I'm thankful for their opposing, you know, Christian opinion as well, because it's healthy, I think, to have that. But that's the way we view it. So I thank you for giving me that, bringing me that peace. You know, we don't have to just do it their way. I talk about this all the time. If you grew up like I did, and you went to public school, and that's all you know, and that's the only people that ever taught you, you're going to be doing it their way, whether you realize it or not. You are brainwashed, okay? And that didn't stop at high school for me. Then I went into the Army, and then I really found out what brainwashed was. You know, here's funny. I was in Ukraine in 2014. I thought I invested so little time or effort into researching what I was actually doing and why. I didn't have any idea what was going on in Ukraine in 2014 and why we were really there. All I cared about at the time was, when's the next time we can go out to Lviv and get liquored up? You know what I mean? That's all we cared about. And I think that's kind of intentional in that society. You know, they just, that's what they want you to be, so you don't think about things too much. And now in hindsight, I kind of realized what we were doing and the impact that we potentially had there during that time. No, I don't know where I was going, but I was just ranting. Sorry.
No, man. It's just a wonderful conversation. And I guarantee there's a whole lot of people out there giving you a collective amen, because we all got to start somewhere. So in other words, what you're telling me is if you teach a man, if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. But if you teach a man to fish, he needs a fishing license. So, yeah. Yeah. So this is the most backwards, unbelievable scenario. And I think honestly people have gotten to the point of just being incredulous about the fact that this is where we are. If, like you, I came up in the public school system, I'm the product of two convicted felons, raised by a grandmother, came up in the public school system, and like you, went to the Army, got brainwashed twice, and then got brainwashed a third time when I went to college. And then finally, at some point, finally said, you know what, this is what I am today. I'm going to be something else tomorrow. And eventually, just like you, bro, I was raised in exactly the same kind of climate in terms of my mom raised us on, can't believe it's not butter or margarine or stuff like that. Drank 2% milk, just like you described. Bro, it's like we were almost under the same roof. She wouldn't put any salt in the doggone food because supposedly that gives you high blood pressure. Of course, I see the world much differently now. And the thing that's really, really blowing my mind when I get down to brass tacks on this, bro, is that there are so many people that are not willing to take the stand that you did. The easy, you talk about, as cliche as it's become, is the hard right instead of the easy wrong. Most people would have acquiesced and said, you know, man, I don't, because I know as a farmer how busy I am. Most of the people that are listening to this are either farmers, homesteaders, they're somewhere in that, you know, they would have said, look, okay, whatever, man. I don't have time for this, man. So what's given you the motivation to do this? Because I'm telling you, out of the folks I know, even the tough ones, man, 9 out of 10 people would have just said, okay, what's the easy way out of this? Why have you taken the road less traveled regarding this issue?
Yeah, you're 100% spot on there, Billy. With the easiest thing to do is comply. And the reason, you might have said this, I don't know who said this, but I think one of the reasons people don't is they just don't want to be uncomfortable, and comfort breeds complacency. I think you did say that, or maybe you were quoting somebody else, but dude, that's perfect. Comfort does breed complacency. And I had some really heartfelt motivations outside of the raw milk enterprise within our business, and that was the meat side of things too. and I, gosh, I have just, I have beat this dead horse 100 times, but USDA butcher shops are, in my opinion, killing the small farm.
Absolutely.
It felt like they were killing me. And that was one of the things I always despised them. I did not like how they handled animals. I did not like their work. I did not like their prices. And then when I became a follower of Christ and for the first time, this is crazy. I grew up in church 3 days a week, but I never once read the Bible, Billy. I had it all the time, but I never once opened it up. But in last December, I started in Genesis, and you start reading about the rights that God gave us, the dominion that we've been blessed with over these animals in this land. And you start thinking about it as a Christian farmer, like, okay, I have the God-given right to have dominion over these animals. I really don't like what the state, essentially, or the federal government is telling me I have to do in order to sell my products to my neighbor. There's got to be, you know, there's got to be some middle ground here. And so you start, you know, I looked up the meaning of dominion, and it means to manage responsibly. And what I was seeing, what I was doing by, you know, working with these USDA federal butchers was not managing these animals responsibly. In my opinion, you talk about it all the time with the sheeps. I don't agree with those regulations whatsoever. So I already had begun like formulating this newfound opinion and stance as a Christian and as a farmer, you know, and I already, you know, knew I didn't like, you know, how the system worked. So, and I'm sorry, I'm stumbling a bit here, but, you know, we were told, you know, when you create a PMA, you essentially are putting a target on your back. So we knew that going into this. So we kind of, you know, we're preparing. We knew it always could happen. And the way that we see it, my wife and I, you know, we've never been in any legal trouble in our entire lives. We have zero criminal record. We've never been in a courtroom ever. But man, for the first time in a couple weeks, we are going to be in a courtroom standing in front of a judge. And for what? Food rights. How I feed my family, how my private members choose to feed their family. What better thing to break into that realm of law or whatever you want to call it than standing up for your stinking food rights? There's nothing simpler. There's no shame in that, the way that we see it. You know, if I were going and having to defend myself against a DUI and as a past alcoholic, you know, I mean, thank the Lord I never had to do that and I never hurt anybody, but it was a very real, you know, I could have been doing that. And I would have been very ashamed to talk about that, especially publicly. I would probably try to keep it a secret as best as I could. But this is so far different than something like that. This is our food. You know, if I can't stand up for this, then as a man, I feel as a Christian, as a husband and father, a provider, protector, I am worthless. You know, you yeah. might as well just bury me now. And then you know how we walk through this, how we find the courage. It's crazy that we have to talk about having courage to be a food producer or selling food. I mean, are you kidding me? It should require zero backbone. You know, because of what you were saying earlier on about Thomas Jefferson, it's such a fundamental sovereign right. You know, to eat and feed your family that. It shouldn't even be a conversation, okay? But, of course, there's still moments of, like, stress and anxiety, and my wife and I, we get into some dark moments from time to time. And as believers, as Christians, the amazing thing, Billy, that I am learning is you can walk through literally anything that this world, this fallen world, throws at you. Because you know where to go. When you find yourself in those positions, man, all you got to do is get on your knees and pray to the God above. All you got to do is open that Bible and start reading. And don't stop reading until you start getting that funny feeling you know, way down deep, and things start meaning differently, you know, things to you than it ever did before. And these light bulbs start going off. You know what I mean?
Man, I do. Boy, you talk about a mic drop moment right there, bro. Bryson, I know this isn't necessarily in your wheelhouse of doing it, but man, I tell you, you are a massive inspiration for people like me and a number of others out there, thousands, that are going to listen to this podcast and they're going to be like, man, where has this guy been my whole life? Boy, he sounds an awful lot like the permaculture pimp daddy. You know, maybe we ought to go up there to Virginia, and if there is any possible way I can swing it, I will be there. And hopefully along with my wife. I mean, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to tell everybody in this audience. Look, I know everybody, we all have farms and things that we can do. Even if you can just send a detachment, if you can send anything at all to help with the legal help with Bryson, folks, I think you're going to be glad you did. Because, bro, this is a fight we ought to make. This is a fight that I can't even believe we have to make. So we should all be asking ourselves critical questions about what does freedom really mean? What are we fighting here? You know, you're talking about, it's funny that you bring it up, man. You talk about just unbelievable timing. Like yesterday when I was, I did a video yesterday and I talked about Psalm 8, where God talked about that very thing. For the Lord has put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. And then he ends with, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Starts it and begins with that very same thing. And I'm right there with you, bro, because this is not a fight. This is not a war we win in miles necessarily, but we win it in inches. And this is one of those ones where there is no doubt, folks. I mean, you're just the first one that they're going to knock down if we don't stand up. If we can go in there, raise all kinds of cane, get as many people out there. And as I was explaining to Bryson a little bit ago, yeah, I know a lot of people in this space. How many of them are willing to say anything about it? Of the ones that are on here live, I'll bet you 10 to 1. Shelly and at Two Old Crones Homestead, I bet she would have something to say about this. I bet Jason at Kentucky Sustainable Living. I'm going to reach out to everybody I can and ask them, especially the ones that are listening and otherwise, to at least tell everybody we know. This is, if there was ever an issue that we should coalesce behind, man, this is it. This is a fight we ought to make. Not in any way do I mean violent. Because the powers that shouldn't be are wanting to parse my words and make me appear to say things that I'm not. But no, I'm saying absolutely nonviolent. Do it with your presence. Do it with your money. Do it with your vote. Do it every possible way possible. And hopefully we can shine some light on this. So hopefully I'll try to reach out to some other people that I know that are big movers and shakers in this place. But, man, we have got to fill this place up one way or another. And if I can't go, maybe I can pay for somebody to go in my stead. Bro, I'm definitely going to be giving to the give, send, go, and I'm going to encourage everybody else, and I'm going to be talking about this until, man, it's a shame I've waited so long to get you on the – I didn't wait. It was just going at 100 miles an hour. I'm sorry it's taken so long for me to get back with you. Well, bro, as we come to an end here, once again, tell everybody where they can find you. Do you have a social media presence outside of – you said you got a Facebook channel?
Yeah, 100%. So we're active on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Triple Oaks Farm, Triple Oaks Farm PMA. If you just look for the three trees, you ought to be able to figure it out. That would be probably the best place to receive updates about what's going on. You know, if you visit our website, tripleoaksfarmpma.com, you create an account, we'll have your email, and we're sending out email updates to our members as well. If anyone, you know, if you don't mind, join our PMA. It's a simple contract you fill out digitally online and pay your $5 membership fee, you know, one-time lifetime fee, just to show your support. That's what I would ask.
Is that going to be the best way to do it as opposed to give, send, go? Well, the give, send, go, you can give more than $5.
So. Yeah, that's right. Right. The $5 is just your compensation to join the private association.
Right.
Yeah. If you want to. I don't want to be soliciting, you know, I already feel dirty.
No, people, I know, bro, I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, it's people like us in this space, the last thing we ever, you know, it's funny. There's been times where I've really been in a bind, man, and I'll never ask. I mean, when I won't say never, but man, I got to be in a really, really bad way to ask for help. But I'll raise money for somebody else in a minute. So I know exactly where you're coming from, bro. I mean, You know, it speaks to your character and all the wonderful things you decided to do before. Well, man, if they want to contact you, or is there a way to, is it through the farm website, or is there another way they should do it?
Any of those platforms, you know, we're very responsive through all of Facebook, Instagram, email. You can email me or just send me a message through the website. It's kind of one of the same, but the email is info@tripleoaksfarmpma.com. Yeah.
Well, Bryson,
that's my wife's full-time job is customer, you know, messages and support. God, she's a heck of a woman.
Well, I can only imagine, man. I mean, there's a whole lot of people that would not want to put up with this kind of nonsense. And it says an awful lot about her character as well. Man, it sounds like we got that in common as well.
Yeah.
So, bro, I'll tell you what, we'll have to get you back on sometime, if nothing else for an update. But we're going to help you fight this fight, whatever we can do to help. We're going to be there every step of the way. We're going to donate as soon as I get done here. We're going to encourage everybody else out there. I want to thank everybody in the chat. I want to thank Bryson for coming on, folks. I'm telling you, this is not the conversation I was hoping to have with him one of these days. You know, I got a list of probably 30 questions I wanted to ask him concerning his journey and what he's doing right now. But folks, I can't stress it enough. This is not the United States of 1776. Okay. This is the United States of amnesia, I'm afraid to say. And this is a really tough spot that we're finding ourselves in. But folks, this is without a doubt a fight that we need to make. So until next time, you know the deal. Stay alert. Stay alive.
From the smallest sprout to harmony begins in the cycle of life, where the magic's alive. Tune it to the beat, feel the fire and thrive.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.